All right, folks, welcome back. Welcome to lecture 64 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We're continuing where we left off before the February break. And so what is the plan for the coming week? Let me tell you. This is a test week. So at the end of this week, we have test 4. So, in order to prepare for test 4, we have a schedule which is, in some regards, pretty standard, in some, a little bit different. All right, so the standard feature of a test week is that we have a lecture on Monday and a lecture on Tuesday, and then we have History Through Art on Wednesday, right, so that you can do the test preparation sheets, and then we discuss them in class on Thursday. All right, that will not change. However, this Monday and Tuesday will both be used to present new content. So that is a difference. Normally, I have gotten to a point by the test week where I only need to give one more lecture of new content, but I do not want to cram too much into today's lecture and then do a review. So I need these 2 days. In order to finish the material on the founding fathers as presidents, or for short, the founding era. So we will have 2 lectures this week. There'll be some review in them, as you will see, but we do need them for the new content. And a slight change also, which is going to be a little inconvenience, is that the test preparation sheets will only be ready tomorrow. So that means that you will have 2 days to work on them. Okay, you'll get them Tuesday, and you'll have to be ready to discuss them on Thursday. All right, so that is a little more difficult than on previous occasions, and so I will make allowance for that if you are not able to quite achieve as much as you have in the past. But everybody in this class has tended to do very well with the test preparation exercise, so I think you can do it in the 2-day time frame. Years ago, it used to be that all the History at Our House students only had 2 days to do it, so I think you guys can meet that requirement as well. So, all right. So this is what's coming up here in preparation for test 4. Let me show you what's on the class webpage right now that's important for test 4. So I share my screen here, and I'm going to take you to the lower elementary class webpage. And you will notice, if you go there, that as with the upper elementary, that the March link is now active. Okay, and then if you were to follow through on that, it would take you to the week 24, lecture 64 link, right? And right on there it says, this is the important thing, week 23 and 24, class notes. Okay, so in other words, all the material that's on the upcoming test is already in the class notes. That at least you have at your disposal right now. So, if you were to go and click on that link, which I've already done, you would see America under its founding presidents. And, well, you got George Washington that we've already talked about, and John Adams that we've already talked about, okay? But then we've got 3 more presidents that we're going to need to talk about this week. And you've already got the class notes for them. But you've already got them. So we've got Thomas Jefferson that we're going to talk about today. And then we have James Madison and James Monroe that we're going to talk about today and or tomorrow. Okay? So that is what's coming up. So now, I'm going to pause here for a second and make an adjustment because there's going to be some noise in my area. So give me 30 seconds to just make that adjustment, please. Somebody's landscaper is going to start making a bunch of noise next door, so I'm going to try to go to a quieter room. All right, so Let's recapture the context here that is important for us in preparing for Test 4. Test 4 is about the Founding Fathers as presidents. The Founding Fathers, well, not just the Founding Fathers as presidents. It's about the Founding Fathers who did so many things that are absolutely crucial to American history that it's just staggering how important that they are. So we're going to focus on that right now. And what we're going to do is, as a quick review to help us focus on that, is I'm going to give you a prompt, and I'm going to get you guys to try to help me with answering this prompt. Okay? And the prompt goes like this. There would be no United States of America... dot, dot, dot. Right? Okay, hold on a second, guys. I thought I had fixed the sound issue, and I didn't. It's so annoying, WebEx. All right, so back to this. Okay? So, complete this sentence using any anchor fact that you want or any fact that you are aware of in American history. Let's start with the easy ones, right? The big basic ones. There would be no United States of America without... dot, dot, dot. Okay, Patrick, get us started.
Columbus discovers America 1492 AD.
All right. So without the discovery of America, there would be no United States. Why is that? It's a true statement, but we better know why, right? Otherwise, it's not really true. Otherwise, we're just saying words. Why is that important to know? Is it true? There would be no United States of America without the discovery of America by Columbus? Is it true? Why? Abby, help us with that.
Because you can't have a country if nobody knows about it.
Well, it's not a matter of nobody knows about it. Who made America?
Christopher Columbus?
No. Oh, I'm getting you nervous here. No, no, no. Who made it? They're down here. We're about to talk about these guys. Who made the United States of America? Try again, Abby.
The Founding Fathers.
The Founding Fathers, okay. And they spoke English, and they were from England. And how did people in England know that there was a place that they could go to and live there and then make colonies? And then people from that country decided eventually to become Americans. So how does that all happen, Abby?
Because Christopher Columbus... discovered it.
Okay, there we go. Well, this whole story does not happen without the discovery of America. Okay, somebody else help me here with another great important set of milestones. There could be no United States of America without... dot, dot, dot. I'm highlighting this one. Rosetta, go ahead.
Colonies.
Okay, the successful colonization of America by the English. Can you say why that is? Remember what I was just saying about the Founding Fathers. They were citizens of what country?
United States.
Not until they declared independence. What were they before that?
England.
England, okay. And so, how come there were Englishmen in America?
Because... they were settlers?
Because there were successful colonies. Exactly. So, see, what we have here is a step-by-step story where certain things have to happen before other things can happen. Okay. So, we have to have a discovery, we have to have colonization, and then we have to have independence. Okay. So, there could be no United States of America without the Founding Fathers declaring independence for America. That's another statement that's true. So 1776 is another one of those. There could be no United States without dot, dot, dots. Okay. So, but now, here's what I'm trying to lead you up to. Is the statement, there could be no United States of America without the Founding Fathers dot, dot, dot. This is what I want you to now focus on. That we can make that sentence line up a lot of different ways, which is makes them absolutely the most important group of people ever in American history. Because there's so many different ways that we can complete that sentence. So, I already gave you one. There could be no United States of America without the Founding Fathers declaring independence. Okay, now who can complete that sentence in a different way? There could be no United States of America without the Founding Fathers... dot, dot, dot. What's another way to complete that sentence? What else did they have to do? Okay, Nemo's gonna try. Go ahead.
Declaring independence?
No, that's the one I just said, Nemo. Watch out. I already gave you that one. I want another one now. I want you guys to imagine a man who is standing on a boat. What is he doing and what does it mean? Nash?
There would be no United States without Christopher Columbus.
Ooh, not that man standing on a boat. We've already said that one too, guys. Come on, let's not repeat the ones we've already done. I want another man standing on a boat in the middle of a river. Who's the man? What river? Patrick.
George Washington.
And what's the river?
Delaware.
The Delaware. Okay, but Anna, what is this a part of? What did George Washington do? What are the Founding Fathers doing in order to make the United States of America? If you declare independence against a great empire, what's that empire going to do to you?
Fight back.
Okay, and so what do you have to do? You have to...
also fight back?
Yeah, you have to fight for your rights. So without the Founding Fathers winning the War of Independence, winning the Revolutionary War. All right, so we've got declaring independence, we've got fighting for independence, and then after they're done fighting, are we done? Do we have the United States of America yet? No, we do not. We have the United States of America with a small U. So what do we need now? What's the next thing that we can say about the Founding Fathers? They had to make... Patrick?
Capital U.
The capital U. Okay, but don't say it that way. It's not unimportant. The capital U matters. What does it mean, the capital U? What does it mean? I mean, literally. Let me look at the sentence that I'm making for you. There could be no United States of America with a capital U. What does that mean, Rosetta?
Because it means that they're united.
Aha! Without the Founding Fathers uniting the country under one government in the critical period. Well, that is a third thing that we can say about the Founding Fathers. There could be no United States. Wow, we got three. And now what we are doing to finish things off in our story is we're talking about a fourth statement that we can make. That's astounding. There's nobody else in the history of the world that you can say four things like that about them that they had to do in order to lead to the founding of the greatest country in the history of the world. No, that's it. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. What's the fourth thing that they had to do? Well, we could put that different ways. They had to... Abby, did you want to take a shot at it already? Go ahead.
Abolish slavery, maybe?
No, they weren't able to do that. So that's what we're going to get to later, is they worked at it, they tried to limit it, they made rules against it, but they weren't able to get rid of it completely. So that's why we're going to come later on, after this chapter, when we return after the test, we're going to start talking about the fact that because they weren't successful in that regard, there was a problem that got so big that America had to suffer a civil war. So that we're going to come to, okay? But that's not one of them, sadly. They did great things to bring an end to slavery, but they were not able to do it in one generation of men wasn't able to solve all of the world's problems at once. But they were able to do something absolutely crucial. And that was, without the founding fathers, let's have that sentence again here. There could be no United States of America. Without the founding fathers keeping America independent during the country's infancy. That's kind of a hard sentence. Keeping the country safe, let's put it that way, against... Who was dangerous? Who was dangerous to America while America was just a little baby of a country? You know, people today, we look around at the world and we see the United States. This is the most powerful country that's ever been. And it's hard to imagine that there used to be a United States that was weak. There used to be a United States that couldn't even get independent without France's help. So, you know, who was dangerous to America when the country was born? Rosetta?
England.
England was still dangerous, that's for sure. They sure weren't happy that America was independent, and they would probably do whatever they could to get control again or to make lots of headaches for America. Okay, who else was dangerous to America in this Eurocentric world that America was in at the time? Sigourney?
France
was also very dangerous, exactly. Strangely, because France had been America's ally. So why would France be dangerous to America? That is the story that we are pursuing here through our class notes that I want you to read. It's your most important assignment for tonight, is to read the class notes for week 23 and 24. To understand what it is that the founding fathers did as presidents. The most important thing that they did was to understand that if you want to make a country that protects the rights of its citizens, well, the most dangerous thing to those rights is other countries that don't believe in rights. Getting entangled in their affairs and fighting other people's wars and giving the lives of Americans in the name of other people's wars is the most dangerous thing that you can do to the rights of Americans. Obviously, because the first right is the right to life. That's where all the other ones come from. And so if you go and tell Americans to go die in other people's wars, you're not exactly doing your job, are you? So the founding fathers said the first thing that we got to do in this very dangerous world is we have to protect Americans from other people's governments. And, well, France was going to become a really big troublemaker at this point. So this is where we were. This is where we left off last time. Something was going on in France, which looked really cool. French Revolution. It sounds nice, and Americans were pretty excited because France was getting rid of its king. And Americans were thinking, isn't this wonderful? We are going to be joined in this world by another republic, and this republic is a superpower in Europe. Isn't this going to be great? The whole world is going to join us in freedom, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Uh-oh. It's not what happened. Very sad. It's not what happened. But, first of all, the main problem was that, we talked about this last time, but I'm trying to remind you of some of the things we talked about. If America gets rid of its king, which means the King of England, he's still the King of England, so it's not that big of a deal. People in Europe didn't think it was that big of a deal. But why would they look at France and say, no, there's no way we can let that happen. There's no way we can let a country like France, our neighbor, not have a king. Why was this going to be now something that the other kings of Europe would be super afraid of? Jeremy, go ahead.
Because France was trading more with other countries than England?
Interesting idea. Because of trade. Not so much. Now, just notice the question here, Jeremy, that I'm saying that the other kings of Europe would be afraid of France not having a king. There was a reason why those kings would be afraid. The leaders of those other countries. Was that what do you think?
Because the people might get ideas and have a rebellion against the king.
Yeah, exactly. Because the people in their countries might say, oh, America doesn't have a king? Oh, France doesn't have a king? Those people are free and they're happier than we are? Wait a minute, let's get rid of our king too. and they were right to worry, because that's exactly what happened over time. It took a while for the rest of the European countries to get rid of their kings. And some of them still have them in a certain way. But it's pretty much what happened. So they were right to worry. And they said, no, we can't let that happen. So they went to war with France. And this is exactly what Americans were struggling with as the country was born. George Washington is the president, and he has to lead the nation, and he has to say, well, my job is to protect the rights of Americans. How do I do that? How do I do that if France and England are at war? What's the best way? And some Americans would say, well, the best way is to help France because they're our ally. And other Americans would say, no, the best way is to help our mother country because we have a common culture. We believe we speak the same language and we believe in the same thing. So let's help England. Everybody was arguing. And George Washington's answer was, here's a key word for us, neutrality. I always like to check up on key words with you guys. Who can explain to me what neutrality means? Now, if I only see three hands, then how come all the other hands didn't go up to ask me what neutrality means? You guys are supposed to raise your hands. Walker, go ahead. What's neutrality?
It means that it's not on either side.
Okay.
Of an argument or war.
Okay. Right. You don't choose sides. You stay out of it. Okay, neutrality means not choosing sides in a war. Staying out of the war. Okay? So, it was, oh, never mind. I was going to tell a different story, but I'm not going to get sidetracked. Okay, so staying, well, no, I am going to tell you my story because it's kind of neat about the word neutral, because it's always good when we have different ideas, different examples to help us understand an idea. Patrick was noticing the other day how our car works. And he was asking me about the different gears or on the car. He was noticing the letters. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but there's a D and there's an R. And there's an N and there's a P. And so when your car is in D, that means it's driving forward, going in one direction, right? When the car is in R, that means it's in reverse, it's going in the other direction. But it's interesting. When the car is in the gear called N, that's neutral. And does anybody know what happens when you press on the gas? When you are in neutral, have you ever seen this happen or asked your parents how that works? What happens when you press on the gas when you are in neutral? Very interesting. The car doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. So you should go do this. You could say, Mom, Dad, after history class, we got to go down to the car. And we got to figure out here whether or not we're going to be on the side of England, that's drive, or France, that's reverse, or neutral. And then that way you can see how your car works and also think of history in the same sense. If you think of America as the car, then it doesn't go in either direction. Okay, so look at it. Go look at a car and see what N is neutral on the shifting, on the stick shift, and then think about that, because it's the same thing with regard to a country in a way. Where does the country go? What direction does it go? Well, neutral, it doesn't go either way. And the reason was this. Well, because other countries fight wars for their own reasons. And if they are countries that don't believe in individual rights, then the wars don't have anything to do with individual rights. And the job of the American government is supposed to be to protect the rights of its citizens. And therefore, America has no business in anybody else's wars. That's George Washington's thinking on this. Abby, I see your hand up. Leave it up if you have a question, but okay. So this is what George Washington said here. The great rule of conduct for us is to have as little connection as possible with other countries. That would be almost kind of a rule, a way of summarizing the word independence. Right? Okay. I got another keyword. I love it when I remember that when I notice that there's a keyword that you guys might not be very clear on. What's independence? What's independence? Anna says freedom? Nope, it's not. It's not the same thing. Jack, what's independence?
Being separate.
No. Separation is not necessarily crucial to independence. So no, that's not it. So this is good. I'm glad you guys are. So Anna has an interesting thought. There's an obvious word that's the opposite of independent. Anna, what's that?
Dependent,
right? Okay. So again, I'm going to try to take this word and tie it into your life. You guys are children and you are dependent. On whom? Rosetta?
Your parents.
For what, Rosetta? What are you dependent on them for? What things do they provide that you could not do yourself?
Education.
Okay, what else? How about a roof over your head?
Yeah.
Okay. And food. And what else? Other wonderful things. The love and all of the other things that their parents provide you. Okay, so that's to be dependent means you need other people to take care of you. And to be in charge of you. So, now we go back to the word independence. Founding fathers declared independence. What were they saying? America is going to stand on its own. America is going to take care of its own business. America is not going to follow orders from its mommy country. Right? Didn't you guys notice that I used the expression mother country? Right? It's kind of the same thing. Being a colony means you've got a mommy country taking care of you. If somebody else wants to hurt you or attack you, what do you do? If some other country attacks you and you have a mommy country, what do you do, Abby?
ask for help from that country.
Exactly. You go to mommy and you say, Mom, those guys are hurting me. Those guys are bullies. They're picking on me. And then mom or dad will help, right? And that makes sense. Because you're not independent. But once you're a grown-up, you got to take care of yourself. You got to be on your own. You have to be able to stand on your own and not go to mommy if you run into trouble with somebody. You got to figure it out and do it yourself. So that's what America was also, when the Founding Fathers declared independence, that's what they were saying. We are going to stand on our own as a country. How do we do that? That's what this whole part of the notes is about. We're going to be neutral because that's the best way to stand on our own. And we're going to stand on our own because we stand for something that other people don't stand for. Rosetta, go ahead.
We stand for rights.
We stand for individual rights. See, so if you're in a world where nobody else agrees with you about this, well, what are you going to do? Depend on people who don't agree with you? Are you going to go and make alliances with them when they're going to fight for things that have nothing to do with rights? This is dangerous. This is going to go against what you want to achieve. Abby?
No, you're going to stay neutral.
You're going to stay neutral. There you go. So this is why I call this neutrality for independence and independence for rights. They were all connected in the minds of the Founding Fathers. Okay, and as we will see, we'll quickly review John Adams. We talked about him as well last time, but we'll quickly review him. And then that will lead us to the other presidents, the other Founding Fathers as presidents, starting with Thomas Jefferson and what they had to say about independence as the most important thing for protecting rights. If America could not be independent, then it would not be able to protect rights. That's what they were mainly thinking. So how can you be independent? Well, you know, what the heck? Let's end it right here. How can you be independent in a world of bullies? Can you be independent if you are weak? Abby?
No, but you can get strong.
Yeah, you've got to strengthen yourself. You've got to be able to stand up to them. And that means you got to be courageous and you got to be brave and have integrity, but also you got to be able to stand up and back it up. If you have a disagreement with somebody else, you got to be able to stand up for what's right. So you got to have some power, you got to have some strength. So that's what John Adams started to work on, was we've got to have enough strength to stand up to our enemies. Okay, keep reading these notes. Read about Thomas Jefferson, read about James Madison, and then read finally about James Monroe, the presidents that made America independent. Without them, there would be no United States of America. Okay, guys, good luck in your reading. Like I said, tomorrow we'll continue talking about this and you will receive your test preparation sheets. So I hope if you get that reading done today, you'll be ahead, you'll step ahead and you'll be able to be really well prepared for the test preparation sheets tomorrow. Okay, thank you everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.